Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is filmmaker Adam Leon, who works here in New York and has been won a major award for his very first film back in 2013. We'll talk about that in a while. He's had a film on Netflix and one released last year. He seems to do about one every 5 years. I don't know what he does in between, but we'll find out. Welcome to the podcast. As you know, it's 20 minutes.
Thank you.
First of all, the award you won was as the grand prize winner of South Southwest back then. And it leads me to the question of, since this was your first film, you must have thought it was real easy to make awards. So my question is, growing up, how did you come into becoming interested in making films? And what led you to make that particular one called Give Me the Loot?
I wanted to do this since pretty much I knew it was a job you could do. So I was five or six.
How did that come about?
My parents were my dad was in the music business. I grew up in Greenwich Village. My mom's a big cinephile. I was sort of surrounded by movies and art and the love of that from a young age. And I think that when I was a kid, I wanted to be either a rock star or a movie director. And I figured out pretty quickly I wasn't going to be a rock star. I went movie director. But yeah, my mom would take me to my mom and my dad, and they divorced around that time. And like, they had to entertain me. I was an only child. And they would take me to movies that were sort of above my pay grade and, above my age, sort of. And I really fell in love with it. I fell in love with the idea of doing it. And I always felt I'd be good at it. And I started working on things when I was a teenager, and then I started working on movie sets during college and writing and continuing to sort of PA and work different jobs in the industry.
Where did you go to school? And do you remember your first, I imagine, handheld 8mm?
I went to, in the city, I went to elementary school at Village Community School, then I went to Hunter High School. And then I went to college at the University of Pennsylvania. I remember my aunt gave me, and they're sort of collectible, valuable collector items now, this Fisher-Price black and white camera when I was a kid. And I remember that shot like black and white on tapes, on like cassette tapes. And I remember shooting some stuff in my apartment.
How did it all come together? I know you, I think you wrote the movie, Give Me the Loot.
Yeah, so the first movie came together. I co-directed a short film, and it involved teenagers, and we were working with the teenagers, and I remember being in a rehearsal with them and just hanging out with them and sort of feeling like, wait, this is the movie that I want to do. I want to do something about these kids now. And
what movie you were in a movie that you did not make? You were part of that movie, or what was
it? It was a short that I co-directed, and it was good, and I'm proud of it and all of that, but the story for it was something that came from me and my co-director and hanging out with these kids. I was like, I want to capture their lives. I want to do something that's sort of true to them. And we were also working with a graffiti artist at the time. And I was really taken with the idea that these graffiti artists were kind of like low grade action heroes, that they have to scale buildings and jump
through things. In the Village?
Yes, yeah. And so, and all around, we were shooting that one in both the first feature, Give Me the Loot, was shot mostly in the Bronx. And one of the actors I was working with, we went to some film festivals with the short, and I took him along, and I really thought he was ready to do a feature. And I built a role for him. I built a role for a young woman, and we really tried to take the approach. We had very little money. We made that movie for about $100,000, and just every, you know, my cinematographer on that said, Adam's been scouting this movie his whole life. And it really was sort of all the places and the people and the favors that we knew could all come together to tell this sort of story of youth running around New York.
You made something for him and something for her. What were those things?
Well, the lead actor was in the short film that I had co-directed.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to make I just wanted a really strong female part, and I knew that we could find a young actress in the city that could sort of go toe to toe with him. So I wrote a part for an unknown, and we went through a big casting process. We did street casting where we brought in hundreds of teenage girls from around the city, and finally found this incredible actress, Tashi Washington, who's continued to have success.
And so you entered it in Southwest. Was that the initial for it?
We submitted it to Sundance and we got rejected. We submitted it to Berlin. We got rejected. So we definitely didn't think it was going to go easy. I remember telling my producer, Natalie, who lives on Shelter Island, that is anyone going to like this movie? And she was like, it's good. People will like this movie. South by Southwest took it. We went down there with about like 25, 30 people, just a lot of people sleeping on couches. And it really was a life-changing experience. And winning that award.
Tell me a little bit about the plot of that movie.
Yeah, so it's about these two graffiti writers from the Bronx who have their work sort of buffed, sort of ruined by a rival crew from Queens. And in order to get back at the crew from Queens, they decide to try to write graffiti on the Mets home run apple. There's a Yankees Mets thing there. And it's sort of about their adventures and how they kind of, these kids who aren't criminals and sort of maybe take a little step too far and realize they're not criminals. And that they're sort of sweet kids.
When I was a senior in high school in Millburn, New Jersey, a friend of mine, we would on a Saturday night, we went up to Morristown in his car and noticed that there was a plastic machine gun on the back seat of the car for a toy gun. Yeah. And there were five of us, and we decided to drop off one of us and go around the block in the middle of town and jump out, point the gun at him, get him in the trunk and drive off. That sort of the thing sounds like the stupid stuff that people do.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that there was a real feeling with making that movie that we didn't want to show. We wanted to show that the kids that we were making it about had challenging lives, but that it wasn't necessarily always harrowing, and that there's sort of this movie tradition in the suburbs of the like people who steal, the kids who steal the keg and have the wild party. All and right. That the equivalent in the city is usually very bleak, and that like we wanted to sort of say like these are the same kids that steal the keg, just because they may live in the Bronx doesn't mean that they're not just kids getting into some, you know, innocent trouble.
How many movies were shown at South Southwest that year?
I don't remember. I think that we were in competition, and I think it was probably about 8 movies in competition, and then there was probably something like 100 movies overall shown.
So after that, and the next movie you came out with was on Netflix, was Tramps. And what were you up to in the interim? Were you working on that from the get-go for the next? That was quite a bit of time later.
Yeah. It's I wish I could get these done quicker. and I'm, you know, I was working on a few different projects and they weren't going, they weren't moving. And I had this idea for Tramps, and it I really love the characters. I sort of was taken with it. It's in the same sort of milieu as the first movie, so I was a little scared to do that because I wanted to show I could do other things. But I'm happy I did it. And once we focused on that, that actually came together pretty quickly, but it took a couple years to get to let's make this one.
I think you got a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes with that movie.
For that one, yeah. They go up and down.
Yes. And the most recent movie you made is Italian Studies that came out in 2022.
Yes.
And it's a sort of a Fellini kind of movie. I haven't seen it, but the theory is woman suddenly walks out of a building and suddenly can't remember anything about herself for the rest of the film.
A knock on the head, a Wizard of Oz type of Alice in Wonderland, like through the looking glass thing. A woman that's sort of enters a fugue state. It's a much more experimental movie. Yeah. It was built around this actress named Vanessa Kirby, who was nominated for an Oscar for Pieces of a Woman and was just in Napoleon. And she and I had been friends for years, and she sort of wanted to develop something with me, and we worked on it together, and she was a producer on it, and it was really a gift of a movie for me and for her, because we had these producers and financiers that encouraged us to try to do something unique, and it's a movie that we knew was going to alienate some people, and that some people were really going to, or we hoped some people were really going to gravitate towards. And I think that we've been really touched by the people who seem to connect with it.
Well, you mentioned to me earlier when one of the scenes in one of the movies took place in where we were, which was in the East Hampton, out in the Hamptons. And this is for that publication that I've run all these years and now work part-time for. What was that all about, and how did you know the Hamptons? Tell us a little bit about your connection out here.
Well, I mean, in full honesty, I'm a little nervous today because Dan's Papers to me really does sort of is so emblematic of the Hamptons, and I read it with my mom growing up. My mom would rent houses, periodically when I was a kid growing up, usually around Sag Harbor. So I spent a good amount of time, probably from the ages of about 6 to 12, out here in the summers. And then my mom just has such a love for the Hamptons. And so we would come out periodically. I have friends out here, so I get to come out sometimes now.
You're around, yeah.
Yeah. And so one of the producers on Italian Studies is this woman named Gabby Green, who runs Doubles in Amagansett, wonderful restaurant. At the time was working in the film world and was a producer on this movie. And we needed this sort of place outside of the city. We had the scene on a beach, and that basically Vanessa's character is able to escape the city. And that's what helps her start to remember who she is. And so we went to Gabby's house and we filmed a scene there. And then we woke up at 4 in the morning, and we possibly snuck onto a beach in East Hampton and shot some of Vanessa walking around.
Yeah, you know, in public spaces in the Hamptons, the law says you're supposed to get a license to produce a movie. I remember a movie, I don't remember which it was, but it was about maybe 15 years ago, and we went out to Main Beach in East Hampton, and there was a sign right where the asphalt ended and the beach began, which read, "Such and so is making a movie on this beach today, and by being here, you are admitting or being part of a movie, and you get permission for that." That was the most crass thing I'd ever seen.
We have done things like that when filming.
Remember that since, yeah.
Locations, but we were even more low profile when we were out in the Hamptons. It was for the beach scene, it was like maybe a 4-person crew. It was really small and cold. It was in the middle of winter.
Well, I won't tell if you won't.
Thank you.
So getting along on this story of making movies, you must be scheming and thinking and writing and figuring out which is going to be your next event.
Yes.
What's coming up? Have you got anything fleshed out yet?
Yeah, I have a few projects. I'm really trying. Again, it's always sort of proved a little bit more difficult to get the next one going. So I'm trying to have a few at a time. So hopefully when one goes, I can get the next. But I'm really lucky to have built a team of people through the first three movies that I work with. So I have the same producers that I'm working with on a movie about an astronaut. There's a movie about takes place in the music world with another sort of team of producers that I work with, and a lot of the same crew as well. And so I'm hoping this year we'll get something off the ground. We feel close on a couple of them.
What's the process, and how long does it take once something's gelled into where the money is available?
Well, once the money is available, the process moves pretty quickly. And so the hardest part of the process is getting financed. And, writing the script and getting that into a shape where we feel it's right to go out to people. And then we're at that stage on two projects. So we're starting to go out to cast, and we're starting to go out to financiers. And then once you get it financed, I'm dancing in the streets. I remember when we got financed for Italian Studies. I remember when we got financed for each movie, and that the feeling of that day, and literally I am dancing around. And then you start pre-production around the cast schedule. And that can take anywhere from 2 months to 6 months, and you start to really put gates in, and your job becomes a very, very full-time job dedicated to that, and it's so much fun.
After that is editing. How long does that go on?
Well, that depends. I have a reputation for editing for a long time. I like to also work with multiple editors. And I also, for all three of the movies, I've allocated budget for additional photography. I like to do an edit and then go, okay, what if we had these three scenes instead of those four scenes, and go and shoot those. It takes anywhere from, for me, it takes anywhere from 2 months to 8 months. I interned in the editing room with Woody Allen, and he edits in about 10 days. And I would like to get to that point.
Well, thank you for being on this podcast. I've enjoyed talking to you, and hope to see you again soon. Are you based in New York? And just tell us a little bit about your family life. Are you married, single, so forth?
I'm based in New York. I live in Chelsea. I have a very, very long-term partner, a wonderful young woman named Sarah. And we don't have children. And we're happy. We're doing our best. She's a school teacher. And that's sort of it. And I do want to thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, I think this came out really well. I've enjoyed it too. And I'll see you next time you head out this way.
I'm really excited. It really is an honor to be part of Dance Papers, the Dance Talks.
Bye-bye.